Good day, and welcome to the third quarter results conference call with Francisco de la Cerda, Chairman and CEO, André Costa, CFO, and Peter Seckhoff, Head of Investor Relations. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Francisco de la Cerda. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning to you all. Thank you for attending our third quarter results presentation. I go directly to the slide four to go through the big figures of what we have done in these 9 months. Revenues reported were 538, as you know, which is 1.3% growth compared with 9 months last year. In terms of both the costs and the recurring, I have to highlight that we have put here the usual separation of the recurring and non-recurring with the same type of criteria, but also excluding the postal bank to be clear on what is the impact of the postal bank. So we can see that the reported EBITDA has gone down 4.1% and the reported net profit 3.8%. But if you go to the recurring, we are going up 3% and the recurring net profit 7.5%. And these figures are even bigger if we exclude the impact of the postal bank, which we believe is important to show the performance of what are, in fact, today's our businesses. Not that we don't have to pay for the other costs and investments, but in terms of showing the underlying dynamics, it's important to have visibility on this. What we have seen in more operational terms, and you can see in the bottom, is that the volume decline at the 9 months is at the level of 3.1%. I recall that we have always said that we consider 3 to 5% structural decline what we would have, and that this year, and we said that in the last conference call at the half year, this year we will be probably closer to the 3 than to the 5. But we also know that we have a very strong first quarter, which also has to do with comparison issues, because first quarter 2014 was weak and first quarter 2015 was strong. And the third quarter of 2014 was strong, which makes it a challenging comparison if you only look to quarter over quarter, year on year. What we can see is that the mail is evolving, decline is less than in the previous year, but of course not so fantastic as it was on the first quarter, but we always said that we could not rely on that figure as a proxy for the full year figure. In terms of the parcels volumes, we are growing 4.6%, and the savings flows, it's lowering number of items, which is what is here, and also in terms of the size of the business, yes. When we go to page 5 and splitting the revenues, we see that we have a growth in revenues in mail, 1.2%, in express and parcels, 2.2%, and in financial services, 6.3%. We also highlight that we have here, we are booking the impact of the Altice agreement, booking it over a year and a half period, and so the impact this quarter is more or less 1 million euros, slightly less than 1 million euros per each of the 3 business units. Nevertheless, even without that, we have a growth in all 3 during this 9 months, and this is consistent with what we have been seeing, which is since 2014 a declining top line changed and we turned the tide, and this year consistently we are growing also in the top line, sometimes stronger, sometimes not so stronger, but nevertheless always growing. When we look to the right hand side, we see that it's a growth of almost 5 million in mail, 3.4 in financial services and 2 million in express and parcels. When we go to page 6, the operating costs increase. And there are several impacts, but the postal bank impact is an important one, and I'll come back to that. Nevertheless, what we see is that the staff costs are going up. I remind everyone that we are booking this year accrual on bonuses, which was not the case last year. This effect will offset in the end of the year, because in December we will have a full year in both for 2014 and 2015, but every quarter we have to mention that for comparison terms, this has to be taken into account. And it explains almost all of the difference in the staff costs, because the remaining items offset ones with the others, and we can go more into that later on. In terms of third parties, so external supplies and services, we continue to have a decrease, which is the effect of the several initiatives that we have taken, and I also highlight the big impact of the IT outsourcing that we have announced one year ago, which the 14 million estimated for the full year impacted these 9 months at about 11 million decline. We also have both here in the costs of and also in the revenues of mail, still that impact of the Forex changes, and that is impacting upwards the costs and upwards the mail, as we have already highlighted in the previous quarters. The impact in the 9 months is 2.7 million euros in the cost side, and more or less the same in the revenue side. Going to the bank, we see that we have booked 7.6 million euros of costs for the bank, because prior to bank we had an increase of costs of 0.9%, which is less than the increase in revenues, but the costs of the bank are impacting, and I changed the page to the following one just to have a little more deep analysis of the costs. What we consider recurring of the bank is 2.8 million. And as you know, we could argue that prior to launch, we could book everything into investment, but we believe that it's more adequate to start accruing costs, the ones that are costs that will stay with us forever, because we are talking about the type of staff costs and the external services that are recurrent and will continue to exist. Then we have the specific costs of launching, things that we have to do to set up the bank, but they will not continue to exist after that, like consulting things, training, and specific upfront training, and these type of things, which total 4.8 million, and that is what adds up to 7.6 million that impacts the total costs of CTT in consolidated terms. We also have to add the CapEx in the banking, in the IT system, both the core and the other IT and post offices refurbishing. At this 9 months, we have a total of 8.9 million euros. So adding the two, which is the yardstick that we have used since the beginning, we are at the level of 16.5 million, but of course 7.6 are P&L. 8.9 are CapEx. In page 8, we see the evolution of EBITDA. And there we see that mail continues to contribute at around 70% of the total. Express and parcels, it's very close to zero, which is still the net effect of the performance in Portugal, where we are continuously above 10% EBITDA margin, and we are producing what we consider a good profitability, and the continuous restructuring in Spain that we also have mentioned for several quarters. In terms of the financial services, the EBITDA in the 9 months is growing, and of course we have the effect of January that impacted the first quarter, all of us knew that that will not sustain. What we are seeing is that the ramp up of the new selling of those products is taking time. It's going in the right direction, but at levels that are not as they were in the first quarter, as it was obvious to everyone. And so when we look to the right-hand side, we see that financial services and express and parts have all three an increase in revenues. The staff costs net of the external services put pressures downwards because of the reasons that we commented, but nevertheless the like-for-like 9-month EBITDA recurring has grown 5.8%. And when you deduct the recurring operating costs of the bank, that comes down to 3% growth, with recurring EBITDA margins that are at the level of 19.5 or 20%, as you want to look into it, with or without the bank. I pass to André for the slide 9 and onwards.
In this slide, I would start talking about the, if you look at the figures and not the reported but the adjusted, taking out the effect of the financial services payables and receivables, we see that from the operating activities, the cash that we generated is stronger than last year. The main reasons behind that, first of all, if you recall in the first quarter and first half of the year, we had a negative impact from account receivables, which were impacting negatively our cash generation, and now we already corrected that. We already are in the normal trend of receivables. We had the impact of the first half because of the strong growth in revenues, which was affecting our account receivables, but now we recovered more or less 60 million euros. We paid this year 9 million euros of the bonuses for the performance in 2014. If you recall, in the end of 2014, we recorded the bonuses payment regarding the performance of that year, which was paid in the first half of the year, which is affecting our cash from operating activities. Last, we have received the 15 million from Altice for our agreement. You need to consider in the comparison with last year that we had received last year 3 million euros from ZLM from the upfront of the credit, consumer credit agreement. So it's not in net terms compared with last year, it's 12 million euros because we last year also had a 3 million receivable from ZLM. Regarding investing activities, it's where we are this year compared with last year having a stronger performance, because not only we are investing more than last year, namely because of the postal bank, but more than that, because we had some investments last year done in the last 2 months, which were paid in the beginning of the year, which means that our cash capex was quite stronger this year than it was last year. But having said that, and seeing that we paid more dividends this year relatively to 2014 than in 2014, with all that, we were able to keep a very strong cash position at the end of the period, which means that we are able, and this was the main message in our press release, we were able to finance our operations and also finance the development of the postal bank with our cash generation from operating activities, which is very important, which enable us to keep up. If we go to the following slide, page 10, we see that our cash at the end of September is 264 million, which is around 15 million euros lower than at December of 2014, but we still have one quarter to go, which we believe probably we will be able to finish the year with a strong position as we had last year. We had this year the dividend payment. We had this year, as I told you, the payment of the bonuses. We had the capex payment, strong capex payment. Yes, we have also the receivables from Altice, which is important. But up until the 9 months, we had a reported net profit of €50 million, and we still have one quarter to go, so we believe that our strong cash position will continue to be there. And we see that in the page 11, where we see our balance sheet. It's quite similar to the one we had at December 2014, which basically represents all this that we were talking. If you recall, we have an important issue, which is the employee benefits. We are having a slightly decrease, which is the one that we are paying this year. By the year end, we'll do a new valuation of these responsibilities, but you need to recall that last year we had a strong reduction in these liabilities, which were more or less stabilized by the reduction in the discount rate, which meant that we went from 280 to 200, but then with the discount rate we end back again to €277 million with the present value of the employee benefits. But in terms of cash cost each year, it's quite lower, because the liabilities or the responsibilities with healthcare went down. So this is seen in our staff costs for the employees that are active, but also in the financial costs, because the present or the interest that we need to pay to keep up the present value of these liabilities is quite lower than it was last year. And you see that in the press release, the detail on that. If we go to each business unit, first of all, in the mail, you see that the mail revenues went up 2.6% with a very or a strong performance in the transactional mail that went up 2.3%, which is the main source of revenues in the mail business. The others, which is the downstream and, out, and upstream and other activities and retail network, went up 6.6%. This means that all the business that we are putting in our retail network is going well. It's performing well. So we are able to do the what we said from the beginning, taking the value out of our two core assets. With the retail network is one of our core assets. Putting more and more service being rendered in the retail network, it's showing its profits with a growth of 6.6%. And in the other areas, you see that the performance is mixed. In USO parcels, it's the strategy that we developed, which is not to promote the selling of USO parcels, which is the lower value-added parcels, and trying to offer a more value-added solution, which is the parcels that we have in Express and Parcels business. With all that, we have, in terms of costs, only a 1.8% growth in recurring operating costs. This is already part of the benefit of the integration of the networks, which, as you recall, we will only be fully present beginning October this year. Next year we'll have the full impact of the integration of the networks in Portugal. This year we'll have in the fourth quarter the full impact of it. During this year we did the second step of the integration, which was along the year and finished at the end of September. But part of the effect of that is already seen in the growth of the operating costs, which went only up 1.8% when we had 2.6% growth in the revenues. You need to recall that inside of these operating costs of the mail, it's a big part of the accruing of the bonuses for this year, because this is made by the staff, where the big part of our staff is in the mail business. So you see that we are able, with the cost savings that we are having in other sites, namely in IT, being able to absorb a big part of the increase of costs with the bonuses for this year. If you look at the recurring EBITDA is going up. As you recall, our ability to keep up the, or to grow the recurring EBITDA in the mail business is basically coming from the other businesses, because in the mail business we are more or less limited by the regulation, so we have a EBITDA level that we'll try to promote and try to get more efficient, but we need to keep up or to take into account all the regulation issues. But you see that the growth in all the revenues in the mail business that comes from the retail network is helping in the growth of the EBITDA in the mail business, and also which helped also in this stage in the mail business was the foreign exchange valuation of the dollar, which impacted in the revenues in the cost, but also has the benefit in the revenues. In terms of volumes, you see that the average addressed mail decline was 3.1%. It's going down from the previous quarters, but still in the targets that we anticipated for the year. Transactional mail is going 3.5% down. Advertising mail had a weak performance this quarter. You recall that in the first half of the year we had a strong performance this quarter. It's not a strong quarter for advertising, so we hope with the last quarter of the year, which is a period of Christmas, we'll have a new opportunity to have a good performance on this if the economic situation in Portugal starts to, or the political situation in Portugal stabilizes and the investments continue to grow. And in the other areas, it's going down, but more or less the same we had in the first part of the year. Regarding mail prices, we had an increase, an average mail prices increase of 4.1%, which is helping the performance in the mail business unit. If we go to page 13, regarding the Express and Parcel, first of all, you see that the performance in Portugal and Spain is quite different in terms of revenues. In Portugal, we are growing 2.5% in revenues. In Spain, we are more or less flat. We are growing 0.5% in revenues. And in Mozambique, although very small business, it's growing 37%. We are in Mozambique now the main provider of parcel services to the banks in Mozambique, which is quite important. In Portugal, it's the opposite effect. We are growing 2.5% in revenues in Portugal because mostly the banking business that we have in Portugal, which do not account for volumes but account for revenues, is still affecting the performance of the express and parcels in Portugal. So when you see below that we have a growth of 6.4% in volumes in Portugal and only 2.5% in revenues, you could think that it's an effect of price. But more than the effect of price, I would say the big part of the effect is coming from still reduction in the banking parcel business that we have in Portugal, because banking industry in Portugal is still shrinking in terms, namely, of retail network, which affects the volume of parcel that they need to have. Regarding the performance in Portugal, Francisco said in the beginning, we are having almost the level of EBITDA margin that we targeted, which is above 12%. We didn't reach yet the 12% because of the integration of the network only finished in September, but in the last quarter of the year we expect to reach that level because of the benefits of the integration of the network. In Spain, the performance is different because in Spain we have a stable growth in revenues, as you see, more or less 0.5% growth, but it was a lot based on the restructuring that we are doing in the network of franchisees, which we are assuming more and more areas compared with the franchisees that we have, which means that had a negative impact on the cost side, which means we were able to stabilize the revenues but at a higher cost of transportation, because the cost of doing the distribution by our own in some regions, it's quite higher than keeping a franchisee in that region. But as we said in the restructuring process in Spain, we would not keep a poor franchisee just because he's less costly in the cost side, because we want them to be also active in the revenue side. So we are assuming some of those regions at the cost. If you see below here, it's a 3.2 million euro impact in the cost side, which is the big effect in terms of cost growth
in recurring cost growth in this quarter, it's the growth of the cost in transportation in Spain, which is affecting. You see here that the recurring operating cost, it's growing 5.7%, quite above the growth in the revenues, which is the business area that is affecting in the cost when you see the external supply costs, which we were expecting to more or less overcome the growth in staff costs. It's not helping to achieve that that target. But as I said, with the last quarter benefit of the full integration of the networks in Portugal, potentially will be better than it we were at the 9 months of the year. Recurring EBITDA, you see that we are more or less in the performance of this quarter. It's more or less the same we had in the first half of the year. We are still struggling with the restructuring in Spain. We did, as you recall, or we started the process of collective firing in Spain in the in June this year, which is finishing or it's finished in October, which will have the benefits during November and December of that cost reduction in staff, which affected the non-recurring costs in around 2 million euros. But regarding the recurring benefits, will only be visible in the last quarter, because the reduction of people went only started in September, started mainly in September, and went until the end of October. If we go last to financial services, we had in the revenue, recurring revenue side, we had a growth of 6.3%. Basically, recurring revenue, it's because last year we had a 3 million non-recurring revenue from the agreement with BNP Paribas FETLM for the credit, consumer credit. So if we take that out, we grew 6.3%. Even if we put that, we had the growth. Saving in insurance, although it's weaker in this quarter than it was in the same quarter last year, is still strong, and we are growing 26%. Sorry. Need to bear in mind that, as the press has stated, we are improving each month in the selling of saving and insurance products, namely the one from the government, which we expect that will continue the trend for the year, until the year end. Regarding the payments, we are having some pressure because, as you know, the payment industry is suffering, namely in terms of pricing, some pressure because of the new pricing scheme for the cards and payments on the banking industry. In transfers, we are having a decline in 6%, and in the credits, we are having 3 million euros of revenues, which is not still comparable with last year. We didn't have any relevant business. So in the others, we are having a decline on 22% because it has the impact of other costs in this business area that are not relevant. Namely, the big one, which it's important to recall, it's the interest that comes from the financial services flows, which since the interest rates in the, that we can get from this money, it's half of the ones that we obtained last year, it's affecting in around 1 million euros this line in terms of other revenues in the financial service. But if you look at the operating costs, you see that the operating costs, if we take out the bank, they are declining 5.1%. So we are having a growth in revenues and a decline in costs, which is positive. Even if we add up the postal bank recurring costs, the ones that we considered recurring, we are growing only at 5.8% in terms of costs without any revenues from the bank. As you know, the bank didn't start it yet, so 2.8 million euros of recurring costs of the bank without revenues. Or even with that, we are having a growth in the operating costs lower than the growth in the revenues, which is positive, which means that the financial services business unit is being able, in terms of EBITDA, as you see at the end, is being able to pay the cost of, or the recurring cost of the bank without having still revenues, still having a growth of 6.8% in terms of EBITDA to 30.6 million euros, which shows the strong performance of this area, which gives us the confidence of, with the launch of the bank, that will be an important source of revenues for the future, an important source of the growth of CTT for the future. If you see here below, I would only highlight in terms of performance of the volumes that in money orders and transfers we are inverting the trend of decline of the last years, although with some impact in terms of prices, because we had a downwards revision of prices, namely in transfers, but we believe that for the future this will be important, this trend, because we don't anticipate more downwards revisions on prices. Regarding credit, still very small volumes. With the bank deployment, we believe that credit will be a very relevant source of revenues, because in Portugal, and I believe in other countries also, but in Portugal, the sale of consumer credit is still very strong in the banking network, or in the banks, not so strong outside of the banks. So I would finish here the presentation. You have some slides in appendix to see, but I would just highlight, because it was a question, that we didn't give any guidance, because we didn't change the guidance that we gave at the end of the first half of the year. We are still confident that we can have a high single-digit growth in recurring like-for-like EBITDA. I would just highlight that we consider recurring like-for-like because we could have considered the 2.8 million euros of recurring postal bank costs as non-recurring, because they were not present last year, but we thought since they will stay for the future, we should consider recurring, and we should put the like-for-like comparison in order to see the performance of this target. Regarding our dividend policy, we don't have any change to our dividend policies. If you recall, it was set in the beginning of this year, and we are very confident with it.
Thank you. And thank now you. We are, as usual, open for Q&A.
If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. We will now take our first question from Chris Cohn from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everybody. Just a couple of questions. On the last point regarding guidance, I think there was some confusion over whether or not you include the recurring post-bank costs. And you mentioned 2.8 year-to-date. Is it fair to assume that number for the year could be 5 to 6 million? And can you give us a sense of how much step-up is likely next year? Is it sort of 3 to 6? And then with respect to dividend policy, is the best way to think about it, you know, look at your underlying recurring EBITDA ex-post-bank growth rates. So this year, the 6 to 9%, let's say. Is that really the best read on dividend growth?
Regarding the EBITDA, we cannot give the number for the cost of the bank for the last quarter of the year. As you said, as you see in the first half of the year was 1.1 million euros. Now it was 2.8, so it's growing, because we are having more and more people and we have more offices rented for the postal bank, so it's growing. It could reach 5 million or 6 million by the year, and potentially can reach that level of recurring costs of the bank. The confusion is because, as I told, we could have considered this, and our auditors consider that this could be the appropriate way to see it, but they also agreed with the one that we put it. This could be considered non-recurring cost, because it was not cost that still generates revenue, and we still do not have the date for launching the bank, so it's not yet supporting any activity that we have. We decided to put it as recurring. Regarding the guidance is for the like-for-like recurring EBITDA, which at this 9 months it was 5.8%, and our target is high single digit, which is between 7 and 9%, would be around
7 and 9%, which we are still confident to that we'll be able to achieve. Regarding the dividend, we set a dividend policy which is a stable growth in dividend. When we were asked what is the stable growth, some of you asked if the growth in EBITDA or recurring EBITDA is a good proxy. It's a proxy, not that we committed and we didn't put that in the dividend policy because of that. We didn't commit with the level. What we want to assure to our investors and our shareholders, it is that the dividend will grow year by year with this dividend policy. Regarding the percentage of growth, is something that we'll need to take into account the performance of the year.
And just a follow-up, when you say it's a proxy, is it fair to assume we should exclude those post-bank costs when we think about the best proxy?
Yes, the postal bank cost is something that it will affect. When you saw the first numbers that we presented for the bank, it will, for the next 3 years, it will affect negatively the performance of the overall group because it's the launching of a new business, which the first years they generate more cost than revenues. So we will, as we said, we would not impact the dividends from the launching of the bank. So yes, it's fair to say that the bank will not affect our dividend policy. So,
as you remember, that was something that we said since the beginning, that we believe that the bank will create value for the shareholders, but we have very clear that we have positioned ourselves as a strong dividend player and committed to some targets in terms of that, or at least some policy in terms of that, and the bank project should not affect our capacity of paying dividends, and that's how we are managing everything. And for that project, it's important to remind what André said in the presentation, that these 9 months we are doing that with the cash that we are generating, which is an additional
comfort
to everyone, I believe.
And can you remind us where distributable reserves sit at the moment?
I will send you.
Okay, thank you.
We will now take our next question from Bruna Silva from BPI. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for taking my questions. I have a few, actually. Starting and departing from the maintenance of guidance that you have provided today, I just wanted to confirm whether or not the comparables of last year is probably the most important driver for achieving the full-year drop in recurring OPEX. I mean, when we look at fourth quarter last year, it had a quarter-on-quarter growth of 13%, and if you look at the evolution for the previous quarter and this year, it looks like there is an important jump for the fourth quarter. So just wanted to understand what could be more or less the breakdown of the drivers for the expected drop in OPEX in the fourth quarter. I assume that it would have to drop by more than 4% to achieve the full year guidance you have provided, and it looks like it could be sort of easy on a recurrent like-for-like basis, considering that fourth quarter last year was really heavy in relative terms. The second question, it's a follow-up. I believe that André mentioned a guidance of a margin, desirable margin for the fourth quarter in Express and Parcels. I don't know if you can confirm for the fourth quarter alone. I don't know if you can confirm what was the number you have mentioned. And finally, in terms of the saving products fees, retail product, saving products from the government. When we look on a quarterly basis and compare to the issue of saving products by the government, it's quite volatile. It's difficult to predict what is going to happen. So even if we have a strong fourth quarter, a good evolution quarter on quarter, can you please try to identify the drivers for the fees that you are going to receive in the fourth quarter? I think here could be an interesting area to justify the potential EBITDA growth in the fourth quarter. I hope I was clear enough. And I think that's it. Thank you very much.
Regarding OPEX fourth quarter, your first question, yes, it's true. The last quarter comparison to the last year will be quite easier than the third quarter. We had last year a very strong third quarter. This year and the fourth quarter was not so strong, namely in the OPEX side. So, as we said, we are still confident to achieve the level of EBITDA growth that we anticipated, recurring like-for-like EBITDA growth. If you exclude the banking costs, and if you take into account that last year the growth in the operating costs, it was strong in the last quarter, or it was stronger in the last quarter, yes, the comparison is easier, and we are confident that with the integration of the networks in the express and parcel business, with the growing advantage or the growing savings coming from our new healthcare plan that we're negotiating at the beginning of the year, and other measures, small measures that we are taking in all the business, that in the last quarter we will have an easy comparison quarter in terms of OPEX. We are, as we said, we cannot, and I would just highlight regarding this an important point that I would like to recall, because we always have the same problem. We never follow our business in a quarter base. Very difficult when you look at one quarter and try to anticipate the future based in one quarter. We had that. We already had in the past that same mistake, positively and negatively. You recall that in the first quarter of 2014 we had a weak quarter and we had lots of comments of a big surprise, which was a bad performance of first quarter 2014. And then afterwards we had the following quarter strong and we had an upwards revision on the performance of the company. So we do not manage the company in a quarter basis because, as we said since the beginning, and I don't see that that is changing in your minds, but we cannot in a quarter base have a stable performance, but we believe that we can have in an annual basis a more stable and a more meaningful comparison performance. So if you want to do quarter by quarter, this quarter was poor, it was poorer, but as you said just now, the fourth quarter, it's an easier comparison, potentially we can have a stronger fourth quarter. So if we do it quarter by quarter, it will be very difficult, but it's your way to see it. But in a quarter basis, we do not manage our business. It's very difficult. We do it in a half-year basis. It's already a very short term, but in a quarter, we cannot do it. Regarding your second question, I mentioned that our EBITDA margin target, and we said that since 1 year ago, for Portugal is a 12% EBITDA margin, which we will achieve, or higher than 12% EBITDA margin, which we will achieve with the integration of the networks. That, as I mentioned, it will start fully having impact in the last quarter this year, but this is for Portugal. It's not including the overall business because in Spain we are still struggling with the restructuring process. Last but not least, saving products driver for fees. We cannot disclose a lot more regarding the driver for fees, but we'll try to give a little bit more color during the investor day regarding all these businesses. Because in the investors they, although a lot related or a lot connected with the launching of the postal bank, Banco CTT, which will be the name, we will always also cover all the other business areas trying to give not only an idea of the performance, but also which are our main targets in terms of business trends.
Okay, if I may, just a very quick follow-up on this last one. Just to make sure that the breakdown is not misguiding me, the other products from insurance and from people with Adam Afro, the quarterly evolution has been smooth, or are there big swings, for instance, in this quarter?
Sorry? The last part.
Yeah, the fees from the insurance companies, Fidelidade Mafra, the products that are sold in your branches, was there a relevant volatility quarter after quarter, or would you say
no? It was not a relevant volatility. What is relevant for the insurance products and for the saving products from the government that you need to recall? That we have some fees that we receive from the stock that is alive in our books that we sold. Which means that since the performance of the last 3 years that were very strong and growing year by year, we have nowadays an accumulated volumes of public debt products and saving products which enable us to receive each year constant and stable revenues and increasing ones from the stock that is alive. Which is very relevant, it's becoming more relevant because since each year we are growing the volumes that we place, we are being able to receive more and more fees from that product.
Okay, thank you very much.
We will now take our next question from David Kirsten from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. I have three questions, please. First of all, can you say to what extent the launch of the Postal Bank has impacted your revenue momentum in financial services in the third quarter? I think the revenues were down 16%. Is that due to you're more focused on setting up the bank at the moment? Secondly, regarding your comment on advertising mail, is it right to conclude that the weakness in the third quarter is a one-off related to the elections in Portugal and that you expect that this will recover back to the trend that you saw in the first half in the fourth quarter? And then my final question is with regards to the expected savings coming from the healthcare plan and company agreement. To what extent have you already seen this impact in the first 9 months, or is it also something that you really can see start coming through in the fourth quarter this year? Those were my three questions. Thank you.
Regarding the first one, financial services revenues, we are not yet focused in selling banking products because we do not have yet the bank. If you ask us if the performance of the financial services was impacted by the bank project. The only impact that I see that happened, because it happened, it was that we had a strong training program for our staff in the front office, which took some of our staff out of the main stores where we sell financial services to prepare themselves to selling banking products. Apart from that, we didn't change our strategy, which I would highlight regarding last year is that last year we had, if you recall, a strong performance in financial services in this quarter. If you recall, last year we had the impact of the banking crisis in Portugal or the banking instability in Portugal, which drove a lot of people taking out the money from banks and putting in public debt products, which made us that August last year was a very, July and August last year were two very strong months of placing public debt products, which were driven by the poor performance of the banking and not because we did anything different from what we are doing this year. What I can tell you regarding financial services is that our performance is improving after the strong first quarter. Second quarter and third quarter, it's improving quarter by quarter because people are coming again back to this to our product because banking products are quite less competitive than ours.
Nevertheless, just to add to
to bear that in mind. Saving rate in Portugal this year is lower than last year. And so the amount of money that is going into saving products is smaller for everything, not only for what we sell. This is to say that we are selling quite reasonably. We had this big impact of the month of January, but the market of savings as a whole is smaller this year than it was last year. This is not to say that we will not continue to increase the performance, just to bear this in mind when you put figures into what we say.
Regarding the second question, mail performance. First of all, you need to recall that the strong quarters in mail performance are the first and the last quarter. The weak quarter in terms of mail volumes or mail revenues, it's the third quarter because we have the vacation period, which we have less economic activity and less mail business. So what I can tell is the performance this year compared with last year had potentially several impacts. One that we were expecting to be a positive one didn't happen as we expected, which was the mail coming from the general elections, which was poor compared with our expectations. Regarding to the other business or the transactional mail, we had a quarter which was impacted for the less activity in Portugal, which was first of all related with vacations. Second of all, it could be related also with the economic or with the political environment and the elections. But up until now, this hasn't changed because, as we know, we are still in a political uncertainty period in Portugal. I believe we have last quarter of this year, it's a strong quarter regarding namely the advertising and all the mail related with the period of Christmas, which we expect that will help us to have a stronger performance compared with the one of the first quarter, as it is expected. Regarding the healthcare and company agreement, as we said, the healthcare benefits or the benefits from the renegotiation of the healthcare plan and also the benefits from the new company agreement will only be fully present in our costs in the second half next year. The benefits from the healthcare plan will become more and more present in our cost structure during this year, and next year will start to grow the benefits, the savings that we can get. Regarding the company agreement benefits, we had this year, you need to recall, we had a negative impact from the increase in salaries, 2% in the CTT and 1.25% in the other companies of the group, which was the negative impact of the new company agreement, which will be fully overcome by the benefits with the new company agreement, but only in the second half next year. In the beginning of next year, we'll have a bigger impact of the savings. In the second half of next year, we'll have the full impact of the savings that we got from the new company agreement. For now, the impact of the increase in salaries is still stronger than the impact of the savings that we'll get. Next year we'll have that fully compensated, and potentially with the healthcare benefits will be even bigger. The benefits that the cost that we got with the salary increase, it was made like that, and it is going in the right direction.
Great, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We will now take our next question from Mattia Cercole from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, Peter. Good morning, André. Three questions for me. Firstly, on the startup date for the bank, can you let us know if you have any visibility or any date already planned for the formal startup of the bank? Secondly, on your financial services insurance sales, can you just remind us here, do you only sell third-party insurance or also your own? And if you don't sell your own, would you consider also setting up your own insurance company to sell insurance, like life insurance products in the future? And then thirdly, just on the savings. So there have been some comments about, yes, that you know your ambition is for a 12% EBITDA margin in parcels in Portugal next year. Can you just remind us what margins are you achieving at this stage at the 9 months? Thank you.
Thank you, Matthias. Francisco here. What we are on track to do is to launch the bank this quarter. And then we also said, since some time already, that we will launch it in what we call the soft opening. So running everything but to customers that will be ourselves, meaning a group of CTT top employees and the bank employees. And in the first quarter next year, probably mid first quarter, we launch it with a single day, opening a large number of branches and advertisement campaigns and the typical things, and then we will start seeing accounting open from customers in general, and it will really start out. The specific date is something that we'll tell you in the Capital Markets Day. In terms of your second question about the insurance, we don't have any insurance underwriting in our books, and we don't have any insurance business that we do it ourselves. We only distribute third parties, and we don't have any plans to change that. In terms of the third one, André, do you want to add the margin on
the EBITDA margin? We do not give, as you know, the detail on each business unit in Portugal. In the Capital Markets Day, we'll try to give more clearance about the performance in Portugal and the performance in Spain. What I can tell is the EBITDA margin in Portugal is already double digit, but it didn't reach yet the target that we want. Because, as we said, the target that we set was based on the full integration of the networks, which we'll only get in the last quarter.
Okay, very, very clear. Thank you very much to all. Thank you.
Thank you.
We will now take our next question from Nuno Estacio from Haitong. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning everyone. The first question, just following up on some questions that have been made regarding the financial services, and just a very simple question. In second quarter, from savings and insurance, you had 7 million euros of revenues, and this quarter 5.7. Considering that the sale of treasury certificates doesn't seem to have been changed on a quarter-on-quarter basis, why this 20% decline in these revenues? This would be my first point. The second one is on the Express and Parcels. André, you were saying in the beginning of the call regarding the loss of banking business, probably related to Express. Can you quantify a little bit and tell us how much that business still represents and how much it has been falling? And what are your expectations going forward for the revenues in Portugal? And also in the Express and Parcels, you seem to have been to have lost quite a substantial amount of money this quarter in Spain. What are the plans for Spain? You seem to the business seems to have been more difficult to turn around than what you probably expected in the beginning. Are you close to doing some stop loss on it? What is the most likely scenario at this point? Thank you.
Thank you, Nuno. I will start from the Express and Parcel side. When we talk, just to be clear that everyone is on the same wavelength, when we talk about banking business and the Express and Parcels, as you know, is to transport basically documents from branches to head office of the bank, not banking business in the sense of giving loans or deposits. What we have been seeing, and that's true for 5 years now probably, is that every now and then, let's say every quarter, every half year, banks decrease the usage of that because they send less documents, they have less branches, and also in a declining business from time to time they squeeze prices, opening bids with us and a couple of our competitors. and the impact of that has been strong. I don't think we disclose specific figures, but we are talking about declining double digit year after year. The in terms of Spain, the answer to your last comment is yes, it is making more, it is more difficult than we anticipated in the beginning. And by the beginning, from my side, I would say 3 years ago, because since day one, we are trying to face this and to change. We are continuing to do things. The results are coming in one thing, but we are not out of the woods yet. And what we believe is that the situation is now probably more or less stable in the franchisee type, number of franchisees, the type of franchisees, the relationship with the franchisees. It's this, as we speak, it's ending the headcount reduction exercise. We have changed totally the top team there, but the impacts from renegotiating some of the contracts, from some of the pricing changes, all that, will take time to be seen. We will continue to closely monitor the impacts of what we are doing. We will continue to be very hard on that situation. When we will take decisions that you mentioned, I've been saying for quite a while that beginning of next year, which means after we announce full year results, we'll have a view and we will share it with you, of course.
But you will continue to lose money in the coming quarters in Spain?
Our target would be to break even soon, but I cannot commit to that yet.
Regarding the first question, regarding saving and insurance, we didn't have any major change between the previous quarter and this quarter. It's just a question of the mix of the products that they have been selling and also the fees that we receive on the stock, that they are not the same each quarter, so they vary. But it's there is no major change. The major change regarding last year was the strong performance in August and July and August, based on the banking crisis that we had last year. But apart from that, we don't have any major change from quarter to quarter. What we have is a very strong first quarter, which still affected somewhat the second quarter because some of the fees are received some 1 or 2 months later, but it's not relevant. The performance is expensive.
Yeah, but sorry, Andrea, just on the fees that you receive on the accumulated stock hasn't, I imagine it hasn't changed much on a quarter-on-quarter basis. So why wouldn't you receive the same amount?
They are counted along the year. They are not counted at the same time. We don't count it quarterly. So they are counted in the first half and at the end of the year.
That's the type of information or the level of information we have it here now, but Peter will be happy to discuss with you and see if we can give more clarity on that detail.
Okay. Thank you.
We will now take our next question from Maura Gabriel from One Investment.
No,
please go ahead.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my questions. The first one is on your OPEX, and you said that because of the network integration in Portugal, you had some temporarily double costs. Can you maybe tell us what was the impact at the 9 months and the relief in the fourth quarter? And second question is related to Spain. And you said that the cost for the restructuring of the franchisee network was about 3.2 million at the 9 months. What shall we assume for the fourth quarter? And if you can give us an indication also for next year. And finally, is on your guidance. Under what assumptions in terms of volumes for address mail, you will be reaching your range of 7 to 9% recurring EBITDA. Sorry.
Thank you. The 2 million in Spain that we announced in the first half, which are there because we are talking about 9 months, are the provisions we took for indemnities to the employees that we would lay off in that collective layoff exercise. And so that's done. And we have not yet the final figure, so it can go up or slightly down or a little bit up, but it will be on that region, we believe. And so I don't anticipate a lot from that. The other two questions, André?
Regarding the restructuring of the express and parcel services, the first point is that in the fourth quarter we'll have the full impact. We didn't disclose yet the figures. We will do it in the Capital Markets Day. We will give a clear picture of those benefits because it's already finished and we are doing the valuation of the benefits that we got and the benefits that we'll get for the future. As we said from the beginning, we didn't want to give a clear value for those because at the end of the process we will do the evaluation if they were higher or lower than the ones that we put in the plan to achieve. We are doing that evaluation and we'll present it in the Capital Markets Day. What I can tell you is that in the first 9 months of the year, the impact was still small because the process was undergoing and we had some costs during the process of integration because we had costs that they were laying over at the same time because we were not closing the outsourcing at the same time that we were doing the insourcing because of some to guarantee the quality of the service. Regarding the last quarter, we intend to achieve the full benefit of that, and in the Capital Markets Day we'll give a disclosure what the benefits were, what the benefits will be for the future regarding the network integration that we did.
I'm sorry, the last question regarding the assumptions of the volumes within mail and address mail, in order to reach your EBITDA range of 7 to 9% growth, please.
Our guidance regarding mail volumes, we don't give guidance regarding mail volumes because it's something that we cannot control. Our expectation is that is a quite different approach, is that we'll be below the, more close to the 3% and below the 4%. As we said from the beginning, the structural mail decline that we expect is 3 to 5%. Now we are at 3.1% and we expect that will be closer to this level by the year end. And with this performance, we expect to, as we said when we presented the revised guidance in the end of the first half of the year, that we expected that the mail volumes would go to the 3 to 4% level by the year end, or more close to the 3%. So if we continue at this type of volume decline, we believe that we'll be able to achieve our guidance in terms of it.
This is Luca working with Maura. Can you just ask a follow-up question just to clarify on your guidance to make sure that we're all on the same page? And correct me where I'm wrong. You are excluding from every guidance the extraordinary impact that you had with the deal that you made with BNP, which was yielding an extraordinary 3 million euros. So that is kind of, off the page as a one-off. Then when you give your guidance, if I understand correctly, your guidance includes the cost of the Postal Bank project as far as the growth is concerned. So we have those costs, but you exclude those costs only as one of the many factors that you take into consideration when discussing internally and with the board and the remuneration policy. Is that right or wrong? And did you understand what I said? I tried to be as clear as possible.
I didn't understand me clearly, but let me just try to comment on some things that you said. First of all, in the 9 months of the year, the 3 million euros from ZLM, it's not taken as non-recurring because at the 9 months it was not non-recurring. At the end of the year, it will be of the 3 million, 1 million was considered recurring, and the other one is only 400,000 was considered recurring. The other 1.6 million was considered recurring, but along the next 4 years. So it's not the 3 million were considered recurring by the year end, but as just part of it. Regarding the cost of the bank, as we said, the 2.8 million euros is a recurring cost of the settlement of the bank, which was it, which together with the non-recurring cost of the bank and together with the capex of the bank, it's inside of the target that we defined that we would spend with the bank, which is the 30 million euros. So you need to take two KPIs if you want. One is the performance of the ongoing business, which you can see the comparison, the like for like, with the 2014, and then you need to look at the bank and compare with the guidance that we gave that we would have an investment of the in the bank up to 30 million euros, which we are at the 9 months at 16.7 million euros. Or 6.5, sorry.
So just so the guidance of 7 plus 9% of EBITDA, just if I take your slide at page 16, it's based on the number which is a recurring EBITDA of 107.6 after 9 months. Is that the metric?
7 to 9%, it's compared with the 5.8 growth that we had at the end of 9 months this year, which is the recurring EBITDA, like for like, excluding the recurring cost of the Postal Bank project, which is comparison of the activities that we are, the current activities that we are performing.
I hope it
Thank
was...
Thank you very much. Crystal clear, it takes out all the clouds.
Thank you.
We will now take our next question from Artur Amaro from CaixaBI BI. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning. I have two questions on Banco CTT. You disclosed that staff costs amounted to 1.1 million euros. Can you please tell how much employees are this figure considering? I also read that the Banco CTT has around 120 employees. I would like to, if possible, to this information to be confirmed. And also the final question on Banco CTT, you spent 6.6 million in terms of OPEX, which represents roughly 46% out of the Postal Bank project spending. Can we assume this share to remain constant in the fourth quarter? Thank you.
In terms of the number of employees, what we have stated, and sometimes the newspapers then change and find figures that I don't know exactly where, but what we have stated is, and it was almost a year ago, that the plan was to have a head count of 100 people at the moment of launch. Looking to the figures today, we should be more or less about half of that. And so I would say that with the launch in the near future, we will not be at the level of 100 at the day of launch, but probably will be at that level in the beginning or the, let's say, in the first half of next year. And the top structure and more specialized people are there, or about to arrive.
but then the figures increase with head counts for operations and more detailed things in other areas of the central services of the bank. Because, as you know, the front office will be the CTT retail network, and so we are not hiring at that level. In terms, and so when you look to the figures of staff costs this year, in day one they were zero, today they are about 50, and the growth, and at the 30th of September they were less than that, and the growth is more significant in the third quarter than in the second or the first. And the rest, Andre?
Regarding the CAPEX, we started the project in the second half of this year in terms of CAPEX investment in the core banking system. It's stable, yes, it's in the core banking system, it's quite stable. Regarding the other CAPEX investments that we'll need to perform to launch the bank, it will grow, namely the CAPEX that we'll need to perform in order to put our branches prepared for the bank. Basically putting all the IT that is needed to support the front office and also doing the reshuffling of the stores in order to put the image of the bank. That will grow with the deployment of the bank, but in that time it will grow together with the beginning having revenues coming from the banking business. Regarding the core banking system, it's an ongoing project that it will have its first milestone with the launch of the bank during this quarter, and it will go along the way in order to have the full system prepared for our business.
Okay, so just to clarify, I could expect more CAPEX coming in the fourth quarter than OPEX in order to reach the 30 million by the year end.
I don't believe we'll reach the 30 million by the year end. Potentially will be below that. But it will continue to grow.
Okay, thank you very much.
But yeah, for this year, more in the CAPEX than in the
OPEX. Yes, really more in the CAPEX.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Everyone.
Thank you.
We will now take our final question. Oh. Our caller seems to have removed himself from the queue. There are no further questions in the phone queue. Pardon again, we have just one more question. Mr. Alex Peter Patterson from Investec. Please go ahead.
Morning, everyone. Could you tell me, in terms of the bank training going forward, have you substantially completed that, or is that going to be an ongoing process once you've launched the bank? I.e., is that going to take time away from the ability of the staff to sell the products that you have?
Yes, the process of training is an ongoing process, but to try to be very clear regarding that is that during this year we trained our best stores in terms of performance of financial services because they are the strongest ones and they will be the ones that will start more fast with the banking services. So with the training process, we'll need to train around 2.7 million people to perform banking services. We already trained the relevant part of that, and namely we already trained the persons that are in our strongest stores in terms of financial services. So regarding your question or your worry that they are taking time of them, I believe for the future we'll take less time in the training that from the relevant stores in financial service that we have during these last quarters because of the training process.
But the way we are going to launch the bank is in waves of several
waves of stores,
tens of branches that will open from time to time, and so we know which are the stores or the branches that will be in wave 1, in wave 2, in wave 3, and at least the first year we have already clear views. We have everything identified in terms of both premises and people, and those were the guys that started to be trained before, They have completed their basic training, in basic in the sense that the things that are clear to the banking activity, they are doing some training still in the how to use the IT system, which is starting now because the IT system is becoming ready now, and other type of things, but they are not so heavy as the first ones. And what we can say is that we started rolling out the bank to the branches that have more business today in financial services. And so the guys that work there were the first to be trained, and the others will follow. If this gives you a background to think about it, that's how it is.
And what proportion of the total staff who will be trained have been trained already, please?
We have trained already, I would say, 20% of the total of them.
20%. Thank you very much.
Of the total staff. But of course, wave one, we have trained everyone, and wave two, we also.
Thank you.
We will now take our next question from David Kerstens from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. I have just a quick follow-up question regarding the variable remuneration cost in the fourth quarter last year, if I recall correctly, were 5 million euro higher. This year you have spent so far, or estimated so far, that you have spent 6.7 million. What is the expectation for the fourth quarter this year? Will it be in line with fourth quarter last year, or will it be significantly lower than that? Thank you.
First of all, last year we accounted for a higher number than 5 million. For the variable remuneration, I believe it was 11 million that it was accounted as a non-recurring total value of variable remuneration. For this year, what I can tell you is dependent on the performance of the company. So it will be higher if the performance is stronger, it will be lower if the performance is weaker. So,
But I think the most important point, as we have said, and is to bear in mind, last year we did a one shot in the end of the year. This year we are accruing since day one. And so that's why we mentioned that we had already about, I don't know how much, 6.7 or something, million already accrued, which are about three-fourths of what we believe will be done until year end. But of course it depends on performance, so it can be a little less or a little more than three-fourths.
All right, that's clear. Thank you very much.
No further questions in the phone queue at this time. I would now like to turn the call back to the speaker, please.
There is one question from the website, which I'm going to read. It comes from DTAM Partners. And the question is, last year in the fourth quarter, you flagged the 5 million negative impact in recurring EBITDA, which wouldn't recur this year. Could you confirm how much of this will reverse in the fourth quarter 2015, please?
It was reversed this year, so the 5 million that happened last year, they are not happening this year in any quarter. We had in the last quarter of this year, we will have positively, as I said, the impact of the integration of the network. We will have increasing positive effects from the renegotiation of the healthcare plan. We will have still positive effects from other measures that we are implementing, smaller ones, and we'll have the negative effect of the continuing recurring costs of the postal bank without having yet relevant revenues or revenues that could be mentionable because during the soft launch process, it's not the target, as Francisco said, is to test all the processes, not to start selling heavily the products of the bank. I believe that's all.
I think it's all.
Thank you very much.
That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.
Thank you. Bye.